Alright, we're going to start here at the top of Lama Terem with Aleph. Gemara begins on the first line, Amar Rabbo, Shmamino. From the din of Tzitzit, we can conclude that Kesher Elyon de Oraita. That the Kesher, I'm not going to define Elyon here because it's not clear what Kesher Elyon is. But the Kesher Elyon must be Min HaTorah. De Isar Gadatcho de Rabbonon. If you think that Kesher making that knot is only a din de Rabbonon, my Yitzrich the Mishrei Sadin B'Tzitzit. Why do I need permission to place Kilayim into the Tzitzit? If you have a beged of pishtan, you have a beged of linen, and you want to place tzitziot of tzemer in there, we said that's allowed. Not only is it allowed, it's necessary, because tchelet comes from imran, or it has to be tzemer. So how do I know that you can place kilayim into a beged of pishtan? That the Gemara learns out from the juxtaposition of gdilim taselecha, that one must have tzitziot in their beged, juxtaposed to shatneis, the isur of shatneis. And from that, the Gemara learns that adjacency teaches us that tzitzit do not have the restriction of kilayim. And kilayim is permitted in tzitzit. Well, the only way you'll need kilayim to be permitted in tzitzit is you're doing something that would be otherwise chayav in kilayim. Kilayim means the mixture of betzemer and pishtim, of wool and linen. Well, when we talk about a mixture of wool and linen, it has to be something that connects them in a permanent manner. And that's what the Gemara says here, pshita. Of course that's the case, because atokev tkifa achat enu chibur. Someone who makes a simple stitch into a beged, that's not considered to be attached. Elishma mina deoraita. Must be that it's deoraita. So the Gemara is suggesting over here that the attachment of the strings to the beged must be done in a way that is permanent, so permanent that it creates a situation of a mixture of tzemer and pishtim. That mixture of tzemer and pishtim is problematic from kilayim, but permissible because the juxtaposition of kilayim to tzitzit. And that's Gemara's conclusion, because if you did not require a knot in the strings that go in the beged and the strings which are hanging there, you would not be in violation of kilayim. If you're not in violation of kilayim, you don't need a special pasuk to teach you kilayim's mutar b'tzitzit. The fact that you do have a pasuk telling that kilayim is mutar b'tzitzit indicates that the attachment of the strings to the beged is done in such a manner that it's permanent, that it's locked in. What this Kesher Elyon is subject to a little bit of controversy. Rashi, in defining the word Kesher Elyon, you can see in the last, the widest line there, Kesher Elyon, Hainu nami Kesher shilamato aloha l'moshe misinai. That's the bottom Kesher, which is aloha l'moshe misinai. Klomar, Kesher echad b'tzitzit miuduraita. Olohochi naket Elyon. That's why it says Elyon mishum de'ilo of So when Rashi defines here that the Kesher is Kesher Elyon, it's calling about the Kesher Lamato. Now the Mato over here sounds like Rashi all the way at the end of the Tzitzit. Because that keeps the whole braiding process in together. And then what not would be sufficient. Because we saw in yesterday's daf, when the Gemara used the term Elyon, Elyon meant the end of the tzitzit. Elyon, not like we would have thought. We think about tzitzit, Elyon would be the thing closest to the corner, right, to the beged. Whereas the Gemara was calling Elyon, the furthest along the tzitzit is Elyon. And Rashi is defining it the same way here. That it's talking about the kesher that is furthest along. The last kesher, that's the kesher de oraita. That's what Rashi mentions. If you look at Tosafot says, Bekuntris per shnei pirushim. Rashi brought two pirushim down, which we don't have here in our Rashi. It says, Echad achar agdil, which is the one that we do have, the one after the gdil, after the windings, that's a good word for braiding that is done. Benikra elyon, kamal the mala min hatara. Just like by Brit Milav, it says, mala min hatara means the furthest along. Vze enu muchach. Ela demi abin an kesher. That from there, we only need a kesher. Veleshnach, we perish samuch le knaf. The knot that is closest to the corner of the beged. Aval kesher she achar agdil, kevin shirachuk min atalit, mishum haulu havi kilayim. So this line we don't have in Rashi. That Rashi suggests, Tosafot brings down from Rashi, that the knot has to be the knot until the beged, the one closest to the beged, because if it was talking about the knot after the braiding or the windings, that knot would not create kilayim. It's too far away from the beged to create what we call an attachment, a permanent attachment, and therefore would not be kilayim. On the other hand, our Rashi reads that the Kesher Elyon, talking about the knot furthest away, is fine, that is the Kesher Elyon, like the first shot that Tosafot brings down. That would bring a tut stadim what this Kesher Elyon is. Either Kesher Elyon is the one all at the end of the windings and the braiding. Again, the assumption here is that's the only knot. Or it would be the knot all the way at the top. The first knot that holds it onto the beged, that would be the knot. That seems to be the more likely scenario. It makes more sense that be kilayim. But for that reason, that's what Amar Rabba Shomina Kesher Elyon Deoraita. That is Min HaTorah, because otherwise I would not need a special dispensation to allow kilayim inside of tzitzit. Amarava bar ada, amarav ada, amarav, im nifsaka chut mi'ikaro psula. If the string breaks at the root, then it's psula. Over here, what we mean by the root is above the knot, where it's attached to the beged. The point that it loops around the beged, if one of the strings there is broken, it's psula. Yativ Rav Nachman, kamar lahashmaito. He said over this memra, Eitvei Rava, the Rav Nachman. Rava challenged this memra that Rav Nachman was saying over from Amar Rava bar Ravada, Amar Ravada, Amar Rav. We have a bright that says, when is this true? B'tchilato. Aval b'sofo shirav v'gerdumav kol shehu. Now, b'tchilato, Rashi suggests over here, it means b'shat asiya. B'tchilato means, when is it pasul? B'tchilato, when he's making it. Aval b'sofo, after he's made it already, shirav v'gerdumav kol shehu. The shirayim and the gerdumim only require kol shehu. So where I want to know, what's the difference between my shirav and my gardumav? What are these terms here? So my lav must be shirav di ifsak minayu vishtar minayu. Gardumav di gardum irdume. That shirayim, as they imply, mean leftovers. Leftover means there's something there, something not there. So shirayim means it was broken, but there's at least something left. Girdumim is gardume irdume. They were cut back all the way to the top. That's what Rashi says. The gamrei nifsak tzadayikar. They were totally ripped, meaning to the point where at the connection to the beged, they were broken, the string. So that would suggest, but so far, once the tzitzit are made, even shiarav, leftover strings here where there's some leftover, or gardumav, where it's broken all the way up by the connection to the beged, koshu, as long as there's some string left, you're fine. That would imply that breaking or snapping the string up by the beged is not problematic. So Mer says, look, chadoktoni, there's only one term here. Shiurav and gardumav are the same thing. They're defining the same thing, which is, this is what it means, shiurei gardumav koshu. When you have a string that's cut back, you need a koshu left. Velema, so then let it just say gardumav, shiurav, lamali. So then why doesn't the Braita just say gardumav and we'll be done? Because gardumav implies that it's cut back, and that means to have to be a koshu. So what is the shirav lamani? Hakamashvan, dibi'inan shiura the gardumav gedelon van. This is what we did yesterday's daf, that you need, when you have a string that is broken, what is the amount that is left over that makes it into kosher tzitzit? As kedei le'on van. As if you can loop them back on themselves. If you can loop them back on themselves, gedelon van, to make a loop or a knot back on themselves, that's enough to be considered a koshu. And those tzitzit that are gerdumim, that are cut all the way back, they are ksherim as long as you have kedei le'anvan left on them. Yotiv rabo, v'ka'amar mishmei durov, chut shel krach ole min haminyan. So this is a statement that we know there are 8 strings on the tzitzit. One of those strings is used to do the krach, to do the winding. The braiding, the winding is done by one string, which typically is a longer string. That string, that chut shel krach ole min haminyan, counts towards the 8 strings. It's not that you need 8 strings, and then you need the chut shel krach to go around the 8 strings. One of the 8 strings is the krach, is the winding string. And that's what Rav says. Rabbo Kamar Mishmet Rav, Chuchel Krach, Olaminim. Amar Leiv Yosef Shmuel Amra, Volo Rav. Shmuel said this and not Rav. You're quoting it B'Shem Rav, it was really in the name of Shmuel. Itmar Nami, we have a similar thing that we have such a statement. Amar Rabba Barachano, Sachli Rav Yosha Demin Usha. Now, that could be the end of it, that verifying the statement. But here, if you look on the side, it says, Mishmei de Shmuel. So that would be not just verifying the statement, but verifying that the statement came in the name of Shmuel. So if we read it that way, which is, Itmar Nami, Amar Rabba Barchana, Sachli Rabbi Yosha, Midimin Osha, Mishmei de Shmuel, Chut Shel Krach, Olala Min HaMinyan. So then it would be the same statement, but on the name of Shmuel. Yotiv Rabba, Vika'amar Mishmei de Shmuel. So they switched it to Rabba, it would make more sense. Rabba was a Batra, I don't know what his interaction was with Shmuel. It makes more sense that it was Rabba who interacted. So it's Yotiv Rabba, Vika'amar Mishmei de Shmuel, Tchelet Shekoroch Ruba Sheira. Tchelet here, and this is a problem in general with the word Tchelet in the Gemara, the word Tchelet, an ambiguous term in the Gemara. Because Tchelet can either mean Tchelet, like we think of Tchelet, which means the blue strings, or Tchelet in the Gemara is also used interchangeably as being all tzitzit. Tchelet would mean tzitzit. Like the way we use the word tzitzit, that's the word they use Tchelet, the strings. Those are all called tchelet together. That's the blue and the white are called tchelet. But tchelet also sometimes is used just to mean tchelet. So here Rashi says that the tchelet we're speaking about here is the strings in general. Not talking about tchelet as the blue strings, but the strings in general. And on that, the statement is made by Rabba Mishmei de Shmuel that the tchelet shekorach ruba, that you wound up most of it, kshera. That's not a problem. So if you made it gedil and anaf, which is the two parts of the tzitzit, The gedil is the winding or braided part, and the anaf is the straight string part. So what the suggestion over here is, if you made the rov made up of windings or knotting, that's still kshera. Even though the mitzvah, the better way to do it is that one shlish gedil, one third of it should be windings and braiding, and two thirds be straight strings. That's the chatchila. But he's saying that if karachuva, on the other hand, if it was the other way around, say two thirds and one third, kshera, it's still okay. So I'm relying on Rav Yosef, Rav Amra, v'lo Shmuel. Over here, Rav Yosef switches it back. He says, no, over here, that statement was made by Rav and not by Shmuel. Before you quoted something in the name of Rav, it was really the name of Shmuel. Over here, you're quoting something in the name of Rav, Shmuel, it's really the name of Rav. So I don't know if he was telling him you got confused, you had two memrot and tzitzit, you mixed up Rav and Shmuel, but this one should have been said in the name of Rav. Itmar Nami, we have a similar backup. Amar Vuna Bar Yehuda, Amar Sheshet, Amar Rav. Irmiya Bar Av Amar Rav. So over here, you have Rav being, so that's why probably it was added in before Mishmei the Shmuel, because over here, when they come to verify the statement, they verify it in the name of Rav over here. Tchele Shekarach Rubak Sheira. Nevchia Breiter of Natan, Matni Hachi. He learned it this way. Amar Vuna, Amar Rav. Again, it's the name of Rav. Number one, Tchelet Shekarach Rubak Sheira. That's the one statement, which is if you have Rov Gedil, Rov windings, braidings, that is still Ksheira. Number one. Vafilu lo Karach Ba'el Chuya Achat Ksheira. On the other extreme, if you only did one Chulia is what we, is Halam, but Chulia here means one series of windings. That's what a chuliyah is over here. So even if you did only one series of windings, that's fine. So that's the opposite end of the spectrum. One, you're saying rove was done with the windings and the braiding. The other one, you did just one chuliyah, one little thing of winding, and everything else was anaf, kshera. So both of those extremes, it's kshera. Vinoye tchelet. What is the beauty of tzitzit? What's the proper way to do it? Is shlish gedil ushnei shlisei anaf. This is what we just discussed before. One third gedil, gedil again being the windings, the braiding, and two-thirds enough, I mean the branches, meaning the straight strings. That's what we do, which is one-third gedil, two-thirds enough. Kamashir chulia. What is a chulia? What's a column? Tanya Rabbi Omer, kadesh yichroch, v'yishne v'yishalish. A chulia is made up of three windings. You want to know what a column is? A column is a minimum of three windings. Now, Tano, this is where it becomes a little more difficult, which is that the unclear what the Gemara is speaking about at this point. We'll go with the Pshat of Rashi and Tosafot, and then we'll come back. Tosafot offers at the way end an alternate Pshat that the Shittim Kubetz it also mentions. Tana, Apuchet lo yifchot misheva, v'amosif lo yusif ha-shlosh esrei. It sounds like from the flow of the Gemara, we're talking about chuliot here. How many chuliot must you have on the tzitzit? So the first statement is you can't have less than 7 chuliot, and you can't have more than 13 chuliot. Chuliot meaning columns, actual columns. You have 7 columns, 7 separate columns, or 13 separate columns. So that you can't have. Now, Rebbe just, when we just described before, we have that statement of 7 to 13. Hapuchet lo yivchot misheva keneged sheva rikiim. What's the significance of 7? 7 is that you shouldn't have less than 7 because there are 7 heavens, the 7 heavens above, the 7 rikiot above. Vamosif lo yusif ha-shlosh esrei. Why not more than 13? Keneged sheva rikiim b'shisha avirim shebeneihem. The 7 rikiim plus the 6 spaces between the rikiim. So that'll give you 13. So Rashi says why we focused on rikiim, why we focused on these ideas, because of later on we learned by the tchelet, the idea of the tchelet Dome the Yam Dome the Shamayim, Shram Dome like Kisei HaKavod, all that progression, that when a person sees the Tzchelet and the Tzitzit, he thinks about Shamayim. Therefore, it's relevant to put on another siman of Shamayim in the Tzitzit, which is the number of Chuliot. So the number of Chuliot will match the fact that it's up in Shamayim, and those Chuliot will be 7 to 13, which is the number between the number of Rikiot, or to the point in time till you get to the Rikiah, plus the Avira between them, the spaces in between them. Rashi asks, Anet, why don't we do that? We don't do that today. Based on this reading of the Gemara, we don't have from 7 to 13 chuliot. Right? You look on your tzitzit, how many chuliot do you have? You have 4. 4 chuliot, so we know we're close to it. So what, 7 to 13. So Rashi says that this is all a din when you have tchelet. When you don't have tchelet, it doesn't matter. We're not talking about Dome the Shemaim, so on and so forth. Why do we have 5 knots? He says we have 5 knots to make up the medrash. The medrash that tzitzit is taryag. So then you do that by tzitzit equals 600. Then you have the 8 strings plus the 5 knots, it gets you to 613. So that's why we have 5 knots. 5 knots would imply 4 chuliot. Tosh says we don't have tchelet, so therefore we don't deal with this issue. What's interesting here, it's quoted in Rashi, is not like what we do, which is 5 knots with 4 chuliot in between. Rashi quotes it, and Tosfos quotes it in the name of the Rabbeinu Tam, is that they actually just made, they made 2 knots at the top, a chuliah, and then 3 knots at the bottom, because malim b'kodesh v'ein moridin, and that was it. That's how you got your 5 knots. 1 chuliah and 5 knots. That's what Rashi describes here in Tosfos, you can see in the Rabbeinu Tam as well. It says, v'chein oeg Rabbeinu Tam l'sototan heik sharim, bet samuch l'talit, 2 up at the top, then a chuliah, and then gimel samuch l'ptil. And then he says, and every kesher is a double knot, because then there'll be a kesher shel kayama. 2 knots, a chulia, minimum chulia is 3 times around, and then another 3 knots, and he's done. That's the way it looked like, their tzitzit looked like. So now, Tosfos asks, Mihu, where did these 5 knots come from? There's nowhere in the Gemara that you ever heard of anything called 5 knots. Where did Rashi get these 5 knots from? Rashi talks about the Medrash, about 613, but the Gemara itself never mentions it. The Tosfos suggests over here, I'll tell you how we get to it. It says, that you have to tie a knot on every column. Hainu, achat shel levan, v'achat shel tchelet. Every column is, it's a column of white, a column of tchelet, shem shtayim. V'hashta, k'she'em pachot mi'sheva. If you have no less than 7, oseh heik sharim, you need 5 knots to do 7. Because, samuch letalit, kesher echad, the first knot, v'achakach shtei chuliot, then you have 2 columns, achad shel tchel v'achad shel levan, 1 of tchel, 1 of levan, and then you have kesher echad, a knot. Then you do another series of tchelet and levan, knot. Another series of tchelet and levan, knot. So that's your 6 columns, those are 6 chuliot, 1 levan to finish off. Remember the Gemara said, you have to end off with a ptil, you have to end off with levan. So therefore you have 1 levan at the end, that gives you the knot, so at the final knot. So that's what Tosfos says over here. Ashrei kein pochei mishev oseh heik sharim, samo letalit kesher achad, the first knot at the top. Then shtei chuliot, 1 of levan, 1 of tchelet. Then you do a knot, achad shel tchelet, achad shel levan, knot, achad shel tchelet, achad shel levan, knot. That's 3 knots plus the top knot is 4. And then 1 of levan at the bottom gives you your 5th knot. And that's where Tosfos says maybe that's where Rashi got this idea of 5 knots. So what's interesting about Tosfos and Rashi here both believe, you see that in yesterday's daf, Rashi and Tosfos both believe that there were at least 2 strings of tchelet and 2 strings of white, opposed to other Rishonim who believe that there's only 1 string of tchelet. Over here, the Rashi and Tosfos both agree that there was 2 strings of tchelet. It's the beginning of the parak. Rashi says, and Tosfos at the top, Achad tchelet edema gave it a lavan, mitzvah latei bet chutim tchelet, bet chutim lavan. Rashi and Tosfos both believe that you knew 2 strings, 2 whites, 2 tchelet, and over here Tosfos is describing this idea of the tchelet and the levan. You have 2 columns of each knot, 2 columns of each knot, and then the final levan. So this is, maybe that's where the 5 ksharim came, that's why our minhag is to have 5 ksharim. That's all according to this interpretation. Then you get the next interpretation, the way end of Tosfos, he brings something, which turns out to be our minhag. And this is what we do. The last line in Tosfos, V'yesh mifashim lo yichot misheva krichot ben kel kesher v'kesher. The 7 to the 13 is not the describing how many columns. It's describing, it's a continuation of the statement of Rabbi. Rabbi said, what's the minimum of a chulia? 3 windings. The B'tana comes along and says, what is a chulia? A chulia goes from 7 to 13. 7 windings to 13 windings. That's the amount you need in the chuliot. And that's what we actually do. We have our chuliot are 7, 8, 11, 13. Those are our chuliot. We run from 7 to 13. It's exactly what we do. We make our chuliot made out of those 7 to 13. So we have the minhag of Rashi, the Rabbeinu Tam, to have 5 sharim. Our 5 sharim are different than theirs because we have a chulia between each kesher. We don't have them stacked up on top of each other. But we have 5 sharim with 4 chuliot in between. And those 4 chuliot accord with the position that it's from 7 to 13. 7 windings to 13 windings. 7, 8, 11, 13. And those are our windings on our chuliot. Again, with the introduction of tchelet today, and all these windings, you come up with many more opinions because of how the tchelet is used in that combination. When you're doing all white, right, you don't have a lot of these issues. Like what Tosfos is describing with the tchelet and the levan, that only comes up when you introduce tchelet into the picture. You don't have tchelet there to wind twice with with Lavan makes no sense. Wrap around two chuliot of Lavan doesn't do anything. It's the same. It becomes one big chuliot of Lavan. So that all these issues come up only once you introduce Tchelet. Tanuk, Shematchil Matchil Belavan. When you start out, you should start with white. Hakanaf min kanaf. Because rov begadim are Levanim, therefore the kanaf, the tzitzit that come off the kanaf, should also be Lavan. There should be the color white. Shumisayim misayim Belavan. When he finishes it off, he should finish it off with white. Malin bekodesh below moridin. You go up in Kedusha and not come down. This is, again, the part of Tosus' Shita. Tosus' Shita was that you do Levan Tchelet, Levan Tchelet, Levan Tchelet. But he says you always start with Levan. Levan is the first Kricha, and then you have a Tchelet, a Kricha, and then a Knot. At the bottom, you do one series of just Levan at the bottom, and then you tie a Knot. At the bottom, that was with Shita Tosus. That comes right out of this Gemara here, right out of this statement in the Gemara, that you begin with Levan, and you end with Levan. Now, why is that called Malin B'Kodesh? Why is Levan more Kadosh than the Tchelet? We would think the other way around. Tchelet's hard to find. Tchelet's all the siman of the tzitzit. You would have thought Tchelet is the more kadosh. So Rashi explains over here, why is it? Kevin de Akhtama Kro, the min kanaf, shmainina chashuvu. Since the Torah, in describing the tzitzit, says, al kanaf p'til tchelet, that means kanaf takes precedence over p'til tchelet. Rana chashuvu, hiukach imisayim tchelet, avilei morid. So tzitzit mitchilata. So since you begin with the white, which is min kanaf, you end off with the white, which is malin bekodesh, that the white has more kedusha. It's very interesting. It almost seems counterintuitive that the white should have more kedusha than the tchelet, which generates all of the meaning of tzitzit out of the tchelet. Nevertheless, that's the Rashi explains in the Gemara here. Malin bekodesh vein moridin relates to this idea of the white being mentioned first in the pasuk. Right now, Rav v'Rabba v'Chana v'Yatve. They were sitting down. Chalif v'Azil haugavra the mechse glima the kula tchelta. Passing in front of them was a gentleman who was adorned in a cloak of tchelet. Right, he was wearing a cloak totally of tchelet v'ramilei tchelta, and he had in it tchelet. Now over here, tchelet doesn't mean tchelet, but tchelta had tzitzit in it. Ugdila. Migdil. The entirety of it was made up of gdil. The whole thing was windings, braidings. There was no anaf. There was no strings that hung off the end of it. So Amar Rav. Rav says about this individual. Now probably this individual, we're talking about someone of nobility, someone who was of the upper class. To wear a cloak made of tota tchelet was something that was expensive and something that was probably only done by those that were wealthy. So Amar Rav, yai glima, nice cloak, veloye tchilta, but your tzitzis aren't so nice. Nice looking cloak, but your tzitzis aren't so good. Rabbi Rechana, my yai glima v'yai tchilta. Nice cloak and nice tzitzit. But my kamiflagay, what's their machlokas here? Rabbi Rechana, sovar ktiv, the pasuk says gdil. Uchtiv ptil. Which one is it? Does the tzitzit, are they gdilim or are they ptil? Ptil meaning straight, like an anaf, like a branch. Or gdil meaning wound, braided. Which one is it? O gdil, o ptil. Rabbi Rechana says, take your choice. Either do it all straight strings or you do it all gdil, all wound together. On the other hand, Rav Sarva, the olam, ptil be'inan. You always have to have some ptil. Vayig dilim, the minyanu hu da'ato. You need the ptil. Always have to have ptil. So then what's the word gdil come to teach me? That's the minyanu hu da'ato. What does that mean? Because it says gdilim tasel chalabar kanfaut kisutcha. Gdil in the singular would be shnayim, because the minimum to have a gdil is two. You can't have a gdil without shnayim. Gdilim is plural of that. So that's multiplied by two. It means you have four strings. Ya'aseh gdil uputleo mitocho. You bring four strings. Uputleo mitocho means that chut you push through. You put it through the baguette, and that turns out to have eight strings. Because if you put them mitocho, if you turn it over itself, then you end up with eight strings from the four strings that are mentioned over here. That's one lashon. Rashi says, oto chut shekrach bo yom min minyan. And the other interpretation is a potleo mitocho is like we saw before, that the string that winds and creates the winding over there, that ptila, is also min minyan of the eight strings. So that's one, two interpretations. One is that you flip it through the hole in this baguette, that gives you the eight strings. The other one is that teal, the winding string, is also classified as one of the eight strings. Amar Shmuel Mishmei Delevi. Chutei tzemer putrim b'shel pishtan. It's clear that you can use woolen strings on a linen beged. What about the opposite way around? Shel pishtan, if you use linen strings, mash yiftru b'shel tzemer, can they be putera beged shel tzemer? So both these instances, you're using kilayim for the tzitzit. In one instance, you're putting tzemer tzitzit, you're putting woolen tzitzit on a beged of linen. And the other way around, the Gemara wants to know what about the other scenario where you have a woolen beged and you want to put on linen tzitzit? Tzemer b'pishtim hu d'potar. Maybe. Let's understand the reason why tzemer works in pishtim. Why do woolen tzitzit work on a pishtan beged? The kevin d'tchilet patra l'van nami patar. Maybe because the heter to put in kilayim into the beged is because of the tchilet. Tchilet has to be made out of wool, and since wool is permitted to be put in there for the tchilet, the lavan being wool also works to be putar the beged of linen. So it's dragged along, kind of like amigo. Amigo that it works for the tchilet, it'll work for the lavan as well. Aval pishtim b'tzemer lo. But by pishtim, the other way around, if you have a tzemer beged and you want to put linen strings in there, there's no reason to believe that that's mutar. There's no heter to put linen strings in. Of course, right, because the tchelet has to be out of wool, so the linen will never be the tchelet part of it. So there's no reason to put in linen strings. Odilma, kevin tichtiv lo tilbash shatneis, tzemer upishtim yachtav, gedilim taselecha. That juxtaposition, that adjacency in the pasuk of tzitzit to kilayim teaches you, lo shna tzemer pishtim, lo shna pishtim tzemer. Is it basically hutra? Hutra legamri. Once the permission was given to use kilayim and tzitzit, is that hutra? And therefore, it doesn't matter whether it's tzemer in a pishtim beged, or the other way around, pishtim tzitziot in a tzemer beged. Does it make no difference? And therefore, you can do it either way you want. Or, is the dispensation because of the tchelet? The dispensation says, because of the tchelet, you have to put in tzemer. So therefore, you can put tzemer into a pishtim beged. But the other way around, you don't need a dispensation. To put linen into a woolen beggar, there's no necessity for that. There's no reason for that. So over there, there's no heter. That's what the Gemara says. Tashma. Damar achvam Rav Yehuda. Chutei tzemer putrim b'shel pishtan. B'shel pishtan putrim b'shel tzemer. There you go. Straight out. That you have woolen strings take care of a linen beged, and the other way around, linen strings take care of a woolen beged. Chutei tzemer upishtin potrim b'chol makom. And besides that, if you use tzemer pishtin as the strings, they can take care of any material. Any beged of any material is taken by care of this. Va'afilu b'shirayim, even in silk. You have a silk beged, you can put on woolen or linen tzitzit, and you're fine.
Not saying it's with them together.
Not necessarily. It could be. It could be together, but it's not necessary, right? That's not. It either means beir tzemer or pishtim. Either or. Uplegi the Rav Nachman. This argues on Rav Nachman. Dav Rav Nachman hashirayim turim in a tzitzit. Silk does not require tzitzit. Etevei Rav the Rav Nachman. Rav challenged Rav Nachman's position that silk does not require tzitzit because we have hashirayim vaklach vasirikin. So shirayim being silk, sirikin is minu oret shomeshi, as Rashi says. I looked up. It looks floss. It's called floss silk. I don't know if that means properly, like combed silk or the pieces that come off the combing of the silk. And a klach is raw silk. Although Rashi says that you go to the place where the tulat lives. You go to the, sounds like the cocoon, from which the meshi, the silkworm comes out of, and you take it out of the cocoon itself. That's what Rashi says, and they call that raw silk. So these begadim that are made out of these different manifestations of silk, kulan chayavim b'tzitzit, all of them are chayav b'tzitzit. He's saying, so what is Rav Nachman? Rav Nachman just said tzitzit are p'turim. So what is his answer? Midirabana. That it's only din derabonon. It's not a din d'oraita, it's a din derabonon. So Gemara says, yoachi ema seifa. What are you going to do with the latter half of that braita? Kulan tzemer pishtin potrin b'han. That the tzemer pishtin take care of them. Iyamart bishlama d'oraita. Hanu d'mishtairu b'ukilayim. Now, this is the way, Tzvi, you see that they're reading tzemer pishtin to mean together. Because, so here it says that you can place tzemer and pishtin in to be the tzitziot of the shirayim. That means you're putting kilayim in order to be poter shirayim b'tzitzit. Iyamart bishlama d'oraita. If you say shirayim achayavim d'oraita. Then it makes sense that you can have kilayim. You have a dispensation to put kilayim in if you're doing mitzvah tzitzit. If you only have a din derabbanan putting in tzitzit, when you're putting in the tzemer, the pishtim to be the tzitziot, you're being matir kilayim, but makom she'ain tzitzit. Tzitzit derabbanan, but it's not tzitzit d'oraita. Why would you tell someone to do the aveiru of kilayim in order to make mitzvah tzitzit derabbanan? It doesn't make sense. Eima, this is your answer. O tzemer, o pishtim. Don't read it as tzemer and pishtim, meaning together you can put them in, but rather otzemer opishtim. That's what I was saying to you before. You can read it either way. Otzemer opishtim. The Gemara then took it to mean together, and then they had to. Rav Nachman says no, it means separate. Achanami mistava. That makes sense. Diktani seifa. Hein biminan putrin, shelo binanan in putrin. That they are poter biminan. When they used in their own min, they work. Shelo biminan in putrin. When they're not in their own min, they're not poter. Iyamar bishlama derabonon. If you say that this din of silk is only derabonon, haino de miftera biminan. That makes sense that they take care of their min. Eliyamar doraita, tsemer bishtimu de patar. Then if you think that tsemer, if it's all din doraita, then tsemer bishtimu de patar. Then how could tsemer bishtim take care of the situation? We said now, and this is what what you're asking. It's very, you have to have bimino. Bimino has to take care of the tzitzit. That means if you have silk baggage, you got to have silk tzitzit. Whatever the baggage is made out of, you got to have a proper tzitzit to match the baggage. So if you say it's a din derabonon, then you can put in semer pishtim and we'll say, go, it's fine. That's just, it's like a din derabonon, so you can put in whatever you want. It doesn't have to be exact same min. But if you think it's a din doraito, then you should have to put in the same min as the baggage. If it's silk baggage, you should have to put in silk tzitzit. Then why you like to put in semer pishtim? Why are semer pishtim helping you out here if you have a silk baggage? Where it says, imishum ha lo yirya. If that's your question, that would not upend the braito. Why? Because of the Rovo Ktibrami Ktiv. This is your question, Svi. It says in the Pasuk, there's a stira. Haknaf, min knaf. The Pasuk says haknaf, implying that the tzitzit should be the same material as the beged itself. Uchtiv tzemer pishtim. It says that you should make your tzitzit out of tzemer pishtim. Haketzad. Tzemer pishtim putrim ben biminam ben shalo biminam. Tzemer pishtim work everywhere. Tzemer pishtim can work whether it's on a woolen beged, a linen beged, or any other material. Tzemer pishtim are like the ace, like having the ace card, the joker. They can fit in anywhere. They can do anything you want. Shar minin, when you're talking about any other material besides wool and linen, b'minan putrin, shelo b'minan ei putrin. Any other material only works if the tzitzit match the material of the beged. They don't match the material of the beged, they can't be good tzitzit. So you can't have cotton tzitzit. Cotton tzitzit only work if you have a cotton beged. Otherwise, you can't have it. Rav Nachman, what's Rav Nachman going to say? Rav Nachman just said before that shirayim, first of all, silk, nothing doing, no chiyuv del, right? That's only a chiyuv derabanan. And number two, he was suggesting to Rava, he was trying to argue in the Braita that semer pishtin only works in woolen and linen beged. It doesn't work in any other beged. Where did Rav Nachman get that from? Look at Rava's statement. How come Rav Nachman's disagreeing? Because the Tana debate Rabbi Shmuel, he holds like Tana debate Shmuel. The Tana debate Rabbi Shmuel, hov v'nemru b'gadim b'torah stam. The word beged in the Torah is used, and it's ambiguous what it means. Beged, does beged mean any type of clothing? Or does beged mean a specific type of clothing? Well, the Torah in one place defined for you what a beged is. It's called beged tzemer upishtim. Beged tzemer upishtim means that a beged is only made out of tzemer upishtim. This is by the case of Nega'im, by the case of Tzerat. So over there it defines the word beged to mean tzemer upishtim. Av called tzemer pishtim. Once you've given the definition, you have a bana av, b'chol ha-Torah kula, that beged always means tzemer upishtim. So that means, according to Rav Nachman, who's using the Tana d'Beir Bishmal, the only begadim that are chayav and tzitzit are tzemer upishtim. And therefore, the only types of strings that are going to work are tzemer pishtim, both because they're min kanaf and because they're tzemer upishtim. There's nothing else to do. You're never going to be talking about another material being good for tzitzit. Amar Abaye, v'ha Tana d'Beir Rabbi Shmuel. This Tana d'Beir Shmuel, machkam idach Tana d'Beir Shmuel, is against, in conflict with another drush of Tana d'Beir Shmuel. The Tana d'Beir Shmuel beged, and the other beged tzemer, I would only know about woolen beged. Minay l'rabot tzemer gimalim, v'tzemer arnavim. How do I know to come include the wool of a gamal, the wool of a rabbit, a hare, v'notzah shel izim. And that's what Rashi calls it, the tzemer of the izim. The tzemer of the goats is called notzah. Haklach, vasirikim, vashirayim. Those are all the types of silk that we saw before. How do I know to include those all to be considered a beged for nigayim? Minayin tamalomar, o beged. O, the O is a ribuy. So, o beged pishtim. It says beged semer, o beged pishtim. That O is a ribuy. So not just beged semer, and not just beged pishtim, but every type of beged. So here you have the other Tana d'Beir Shmuel. It says that beged is a generic term for any material. As opposed to the first Tana d'Beir Shmuel, it says that beged is defined by tzemer and pishtim, only tzemer and pishtim. So according to that, Ralph Voss says, I have a stira of min kanaf and tzemer pishtim, no problem. I'll say that min kanaf works everywhere. As long as it's the same material as the beged, no problem. Tzemer pishtim also works everywhere. So that way, you can have tzemer pishtim anywhere, min kanaf, as long as you're reducing the same material as the beged, that'll work everywhere also. But if you take cotton and put it on a tzemer beged, no good. Doesn't work, because that's not min kanaf, it's not tzemer upishtim. Rav Nachman comes along and says, there's only one type of beged, that's a beged tzemer upishtim. There's no such thing as tzitzit, chiyuv, tzitzit, and anything but tzemer upishtim. That would mean the strings also are only going to be tzemer upishtim. There's no other alternative, except tzemer upishtim. We have the last Tana d'Beir Rabbi Shmuel, which seems to match up with the position of Rava, which is that beged is a generic term. It can mean any type of beged, and therefore you could use in those begadim, min knaf, or tzemer pishtim, which is our minug today. Our minug today is that even in a cotton beged, you will have woolen tzitzit, In addition, people are makpid to have a woolen beged, not just have a cotton beged, but to have a woolen beged and have wool on the woolen beged to be yotzei the kol hashitot po, that if that a beged, a real beged is a beged tzemer, and the tzitziot are made of tzemer as well. Okay, we'll stop over here.